eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. And we welcome our partner on this show, two-time Stanley Cup champion, should be in the North Dakota Hall of Fame. Boy, what else should I say about you? Future Stars Ring of Honor, coaching these kids here in Dallas to championships. He's Craig Ludwig. How are you, Craig?
Good, Gavin. That was a good show. We'll talk to you next week.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Okay. This is going to be a Spits and Suds quickie. We're going to run through a whole bunch today and want to start with the loss in San Jose last night. Craig, when you played, is it just possible that a team can be a bad matchup? I know the Stars have spent a lot of time on the road, and it is what it is. However, I'll say this. Of the nine periods played between these two teams, I think San Jose has played better in 5.5 periods. They've scored 12 goals against the Stars, so I didn't kind of look at last night's loss as a fluke. I just looked at it as San Jose plays the Stars well. I will say, giving up a 3-goal lead, you know, I'm sure DeBoer and crew thinks is unacceptable.
Yeah, well, the good news is I don't think they're going to meet him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that one. But they are in a tight race, and so every game is important. You've got Minnesota starting to crawl up and get in line, and you've got Winnipeg who is having one of those kind of years. And I think there's teams that you have, and I think the games over the past, even though I don't think it's probably like it used to be, you know, back when we played, that was a big rivalry. I mean, you wouldn't think it, but that was a big game, and maybe that still boils over to some people in San Jose. And although I don't even know how many people would still be involved in the organization, you know, since those games. But, you know, I think you come off a big win against a team that's, you know, first in the other side of the conference in Vegas, and you have a big game. You have a big game from your goaltender. You get a shutout, and you come in, and sometimes you think it's just going to fall into line. But, you know, I've said this before, I kind of measure teams once they've played somewhere between 50 and 60 games. And we're in that neighborhood now. Dallas has proven to be a good team. They're a top team in the NHL, and you're not going to win them all, you know, unless your name is Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're on the road, you're playing, what, 3-4, is it, or 4-3-5, whatever it is on the road. You know, they got a game tonight in L.A., so, you know, sometimes you look past the team that you're playing. I mean, you see where they are in the standings. And again, you know, we've been there, and it's not easy to be, you know, at that level every single night over the course of 82 games. And, you know, what's important for the team now, starting this morning or even after the game, is how do they play against LA? You know, because it's that race. I mean, now the good news is that I think whenever you – if you go back to last year, when you looked at the East, the eight teams that were going to make the playoffs in the East, geez, seems like they were settled in November. And so all it was going to be is jockeying for positions. Well, this is a little bit different. So you have a purpose to come to all, you know, 40, 50 games that they've been involved in because of the jockeying, what's going on and where you can go. And they've been sitting at the top. for most of the year. And so, you know, that's the good news. And I expect them to have a good bounce back game tonight against a team that I believe is very well rested. If I looked right, they haven't played since Saturday, LA. So and sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes you sit around a little bit too much.
You've said to get when you're on the road, you want to go back at it the next night, right?
Yeah. I mean, and again, as a player, you don't have to sit around with a day in between and our coach is going to have meetings and what's our practice going to be like and all that kind of stuff. You just get back at it. And coaches know that too. You know, they come into the, I would think that the way that the Dallas team has been playing this year, Pete DeBoer's, I really truly believe that they play for that guy. I think he has the respect of every single player in that room. And that was an important game on against Vegas. You know, they knew that that was a team that he was part of, and they wanted to win that game. And I believe that he was a big reason why they played the kind of game that they did. But these are the kind of games when you play the next night, you park it. It's gone. We get a game tomorrow. I mean, in less than 12 hours, we're on the ice again, or 14, whatever it may be. So, you know, their focus is on the game tonight. And the coaching staff is not going to be showing video clips of what all went wrong last night, unless it's a little tweak because you're playing a different team tonight. So I just think you throw this one A. Overall, this has been a real good team, I think, that's played with a good amount of consistency this year.
I actually thought Radek Fox had his best game of the season. So.
Well, we're going to clip that one. That should be what you should hear that clip leading into your podcast all the time.
I actually put a note down. I thought he played last night.
He scored for you, right? Did he score the third goal?
Yeah, he scored a goal. Yeah, absolutely.
And then what happened? I thought maybe you'd throw him under the bus.
No.
He scored the third goal, and then the wheels fell off in the second period. I
thought he was active in front of the net. He scored a goal. I thought he played well. I mean, listen,
I thought the two-goal lead was the worst lead in hockey. Apparently for Dallas, it's 3-0.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, was this me? Is this my eyesight going along with everything else in my body? Was it the TNT camera angles or the SAP center last night? I mean, I felt as though I was kind of watching game tape. It was a little too far away. Did you catch that sense too?
Yeah, you know... What distracts me are the damn cars driving around and the people running around on the boards. I think that, are they trying to try different things? You know, at TNT, I don't know. I mean, everybody seems to love the broadcast. The guys at intermission are good. And I think they're trying to take a page out of the NBA, you know, with the personalities and things like that. I think they do a good job. But that being said, I'm not sure if TNT has anything to do with the camera angles. I don't know. A lot of times the camera people are the camera people in each building, and the trucks just plug in to those people. So I don't know how that operates when with the TNT games. Do they have their own cameras, and are they trying to get a different look? Are they trying to change something and, you know, test it and get a better view for the viewers? I'm not sure. But, yeah, there's times. As a viewer, I get distracted with little cars driving around the boards. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to hit, you know, it's going to hit. You know, where's the crosswalk sign? So I have an issue with that, but, you know, again, that's just me.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So I agree with you. The TNT crew is good. I'm biased, Craig. I think you actually should be a part of something like this because of your great personality. And that's why I'm glad you're doing a lot of these projects, because you have great stories and you have a really good personality. See? Toot your horn right there. But they were talking in between periods about something I found fascinating, tablets on the bench. And as a coach who coaches youth, you know, what are your thoughts as a former player, now coach?
Well, funny you bring that up. We have a different team with our AAA team this year. They're different than last year. And we had about an hour meeting. We went on the ice for 15 minutes and had a come to Jesus meeting. And so when you talk about catalysts, from a player's role, they're not always who you think they are. And, you know, sometimes they'll say it's always the guys with the letters on their jerseys that have to be the leaders. And that's not necessarily true all the time. Sometimes it's the least expected guy on the team that's had enough of this or that. or that goal that scored. You know, you look at Delandria last night scoring the first goal. Not a good goal by Reimer, but it's a big goal. And I think we've seen that a little bit, you know, here and there from Delandria this year. So I think on good teams, it's a reason that they're good teams. It's not the same voice standing up all the time. And it's part of our conversation, you know, that we've had with our team. And it can't always be the coaches yelling and screaming. I go back to, you know, our buddy Hitchcock. And, you know, there were certain things put on us as a group of leaders. And there was a certain place that coaching staff wanted to get the team to. Now, the style of play, all the things that go into becoming a winning team. And when the coaching, from a coach's standpoint, when you start to hear players on the bench preaching what the coaches are normally preaching, whether it's in practice and during games, as a coach, you stand back and you go, now we're getting there, because they're starting to sell the message between themselves. And so, you know, within that room, and I don't think you're really always going to know who they are unless players come up and speak up. There are different players, you know, and I think it needs to be like that, because when you live with a group of 23 guys for 7 months a year, and you're with them every single day, you don't want to hear Jamie or Tyler or Miro or whoever it may be that's speaking up in the room. You want to hear different voices, because then, you know, the old cliche, you feel as everybody's pulling on the rope the same way. And to me, that's what makes a good team. And obviously they've got that with this group.
Okay. Last night, obviously the Stars playing great in the first period. Puck toward the end of the first goes into the San Jose bench. It's assistant coach Ryan Warsawski. He comes back with stitches. Does that fire up a team?
Yep, 100%.
Interesting.
It's the mentality. It's the mentality of a hockey player that. I mean, look, you probably weren't. I don't know if you got to see the Boston game.
I did, against Toronto or?
Yeah, no, last night's game.
Oh, last night's game. Yeah, another dominant performance.
Yeah, but their captain, you know, arguably one of the best players in the league and has been for 10, 12 years, gets hit with a puck. It got deflected and he was coming to the net, never saw the puck coming, hits him just under the visor and goes straight down. And the players from the other team are yelling at the referee to blow the whistle. They stop the play. Bergeron gets right up and skates off the ice. He comes back about five shifts later with his nose plugged with gauze and acts as if it never happens. And that's the character of this game for years and years and years. And it was started probably back in the 30s and 40s. And I mean, there were guys that played with broken legs, for God's sakes. So it's a tradition. And regardless if you're a trainer, you're a head coach, an assistant coach, and right down to the players, it's what we do. It's different than other sports. And I'm not going to throw soccer under the bus, but it's different than other sports. And especially when you see a guy standing up in a suit behind the bench, and assistant coaches are always friends of the players for the most part. It's the head coach that's got to be the, you know, he's the hard ass of the group, and players go through the assistant coaches, and coaches are kind of the, you know, they're the tunnel to the head coach, and they've got to be that conduit. And so they talk to the players when a coach is on him. Hey, listen, here's what he said, and I can talk to him. And, you know, you're kind of the go-between. But when you see those kind of things happen, because the players do it all the time, and it really just tells you, we're all in this together. The coaches feel that they're just as big a part of the game that's going on the ice. And I watch players, I mean, from a player's standpoint and a coach's standpoint, they watch their players do this all the time. So for a coach to get hit by a puck or a stick or whatever may happen and return to the bench after, you know, 5-10 minutes and getting some stitches or whatever happened, you know, there's a little boost right there, because you can live without one of the seven assistant coaches that are on benches. You know, they got them up in the sky, they got them on the bench, they got them behind the bench, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's uplifting for players.
I remember one time I got hit with a tennis ball during warm up, and
oh my god!
I'm just kidding around. I knew I'd get you. I knew I'd get you. I saw the eye roll through the microphone.
Oh no, there was more than that.
All right, Stephen Stamkos.
I'm just getting ready to pull the top of the computer down and set it off.
That's it for the day.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stephen Stamkos, the Stammer, 500 goals. My goodness, if he was playing in another market, if he was playing in New York or whatever, I mean, it's just, it's such a fly under the radar superstar.
Hey, if he was playing in New York, he wouldn't have back-to-back Stanley Cups.
That's true.
And he wouldn't have a beach that he goes to 12 months a year and riding to practice every day with his top down on his Ferrari or whatever he drives. So I believe that Stammer is completely satisfied and happy where he's playing right now. And you saw what happened when we all saw it a couple of years ago, that game that he played against Dallas in the finals. And he played, what, 2 minutes and 15 yeah. seconds or something like that. Comes off the bench, and he was hurt. Comes off, scores a goal. And it was like the celebration that he got after scoring the 500th goal. And the team came off the bench, and they were – you can tell what kind of a leader and what kind of respect he has in that group among the coaches and his teammates and within the city, you know. So – He's a first ballot guy, right? I mean, he's going in. And some of these guys, I don't know if they do this in the NHL. I don't understand why some of these guys got to wait 3 years. I don't get it. So, but he's dancing into the Hall of Fame, and he's one of those guys. Regardless if you're playing against him, you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Lightning, but you just feel good for the kid. I have a kid. He's not a kid anymore. You just feel good for the player because you look at the injuries that he's had to battle through. You look at the contract that he took to stay part of the organization. I mean, there was talk that he was going to leave, and we always hear about the team-friendly contracts and to be able to fit it into the system, into the cap, into the team in order for the GM to go out and make some additions. And, you know, that's what happened. I mean, they went out and, you know, he stayed with the team. He took less money than he probably would have gotten in, you know, with another club in free agency. To me, it's what a captain should be. I just think that, and Bergeron, same kind of guy in Boston. You know, these are the kind of guys that there's a reason that when his career is over, whenever he wants it to be over, he will probably have an opportunity, if he wants it, to stick around Tampa Bay and be part of this team. And
yeah.
He should.
Yeah.
I mean, no different than the way I feel about Joe Pavelski, even though Joe hasn't been here for 20 years, I think I said it to you a couple of months ago. I'd have been working on a Joe Pavelski contract already.
You did.
And what was it? 3-4 weeks ago, they come out and he took even a couple million dollars less than what I think he's getting this year, whatever it is, you know. So it just shows you the commitment of these type of individuals. I mean, who they are, not just on the ice, but off the ice.
Speaking of commitment, one of the great commitments in the game of hockey throughout history is the enforcer. And we lost one this week with the passing of Gino Ochik. 12 seasons in the NHL, Canucks, Islanders, Flyers, Montreal Canadiens. Unfortunately, too early of a death at 52. Any memories there, Craig?
Yeah, of him chasing me around the ice.
Okay. Yeah. So he, many challenges, never accepted?
No, but Gino was that team guy. You know, he was the Shane Cherla of our team. And we could go down a list of, you know, guys that had that role in that day, in that particular era. Never heard a bad thing about him from teammates, which is the most important thing. He could care less what opponents say. But even after he passed, all the people that said it, I mean, from GMs, coaches, players, about who he was, and it's who he was. You could just tell the kind of player he was, the commitment that he had to his teammates. Now, I'm not going to say the jersey. I'm going to say his teammates, because it didn't matter. It didn't matter what team he was on. It was to his teammates. But I understand that he had some kind of a rare blood disease, I believe, something like that. And that was 10 years earlier. And he fought for an extra 10 years to stay around, which is maybe that's the word that best describes him, is fought or fight, not just on the ice. I mean, fought to stick around and fought for his family and fought for his teammates and fought for whatever organization. So, in 52 years old, it's way too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Way too soon. I don't know if I asked you or I asked Sean this, getting back to Pavelski. I think another couple of years here, if he goes into the Hall of Fame, would you raise him to the rafters?
That's a tough one.
It is.
I love the guy. So if you're asking me personally, yes.
I think I would too.
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. Do you have to play in the organization? You know, I don't know if there's a criteria to the Stars Hall of Fame now. Do you have to be in the organization for a period of time? I don't know what all the criteria is. And there's been other players that have come through here,
yep,
you know, that were, you know, that are in the Hall of Fame, but maybe they're not to the rafters. So whatever meets that criteria. But I would be willing to bet if you asked his teammates, they would say yes, which is probably enough for Joe, knowing Joe. Does that mean that, I mean, should he be in the rafters in San Jose?
Yes.
I mean, wouldn't he be hanging in the rafters in San Jose before Dallas? And I don't know. And that's a thing I don't know. I mean, do players have jerseys in different buildings that they played in? Like, is Jagr hanging up in one of the other seven teams he played for when he was chasing records? And or is he just in Pittsburgh, or, you know, players like that? I don't know. Is Gretz hanging up in New York? Is he besides Edmonton? I'm not sure.
Boy, that's a good one. I was thinking Brett Hull.
Is Holly in St. Louis? And is he, I don't know. If he's not in St. Louis, there's something wrong.
Yeah, I think he's retired in St. Louis.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a fascinating conversation. I'm just glad he's staying with the Stars. It's a great story. So,
ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
On to your next venture. Sure, this is a quickie, but always great to have you on the program. Trade deadline coming up. So Sean and I have been talking a lot about it. So they mentioned Patrick Kane on the TNT broadcast last night, possibly joining the Stars. I don't want it.
Oh, for God's sakes. No. Who hasn't mentioned Patrick?
Yeah, Kane? Exactly. The salary's too steep. He's got an injury. Me personally, I'm not mortgaging the future for – he's a great player, but I'm just not doing it. So, I mean, if you want to pick up a piece.
Are you bringing a player in for the playoff run, or are you bringing a player in to be part of the club for the next 3 years?
Exactly.
Which I don't know. I mean, you know, is Patrick Kane the same Patrick Kane he was 6-7 years ago? Probably not.
Yeah.
But is he still a good player? Absolutely. I said this on another show I was doing. When you have teams like this that are consistently good year long, and I think they've proven that they are, I'm not sure that – I think what you're doing is you're adding depth. And we'll see. I mean, hopefully Rupe is going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said this before, I he has pockets of injuries, and we know one that was during the playoffs and he couldn't play, and it was after warmups he couldn't play. So hopefully he's going to be healthy. But I think what you're doing is you're looking for depth, depth players. You never have enough defensemen. You know, and I've been a fan of Ryan Suter, but he's lost a step.
Yes, he has.
You know, and I look at the pair that I think he was playing with Lundqvist last night as a pair.
Yeah.
Do you need a little depth there going deep in the playoffs?
That's where I'd go. And by the way, I didn't want to, I forgot to mention it. I think they should switch out Suter for Colin Miller on the power play.
That was the sneaky move by Jim Nill.
It was great.
That's one that I don't think people knew unless you watched the game what you were actually getting.
Correct.
He's a good player. He's got an edge to him. If he has to drop the gloves, he will. He skates well. He makes good passes. He can get involved offensively. He was the one guy when all the moves were made. I'm like, nobody's talking about this guy. That's maybe a good thing. So, but I agree. Ryan Suter is still a good defenseman. I'm not saying he's not, but I just look at, because I think when you have a team like this, sometimes the best thing to do as a general manager, you make a couple depth moves, and a couple days before the deadline, you walk into your room and you tell your player, listen, here's what we're doing. We're going to look to add a little bit of depth, but we believe in this team right now. You guys have proven all year long that you're a good hockey team, and there's a certain chemistry in the room. And again, I'm just assuming that there's a certain chemistry, because when teams, what would you do with the Boston Bruins? I mean, are you gonna tinker with the Boston Bruins right now? I don't think so. But again, they may add some depth in there. But then there are the GMs that'll say, listen, you know, because I'll tell you what, when we had good teams, and Mr. Hicks came down and talked to Bob Gainey and said, hey, what's going to get us over the hump? What's going to get us past Detroit? That was who he was concerned with. And it ended up being Brett Hull. That move paid off, didn't it? So Gainey went out there. And again, a big reason for that move was Bob had conversations with us and certain people. And can we handle that personality? And he was confident that we could handle Holly's personality because our group was really tight. And we were going to be able to, because we knew Holly, and Holly, you don't want to ever take Holly's personality away. Trust me. But he was the kind of player in St. Louis where you found him more often in the neutral zone when you were battling in front of your net. That was just the way he played. And he scored 70 plus goals. But, you know, and so he had to kind of be steered to come back a little bit closer to our end zone. And he did. And Holly bought in and he played, and look at what happened. And so you have to think about the chemistry of your team. What kind of player are you going to, because the Dallas Stars have brought in some players at times where people are going, you're not bringing this guy in. And I don't mean Sean Avery. Oh, yes, I do, Sean. But that was a Brett Hull move too. Brett Hull was the GM. I mean, talk about imploding on you. And everybody's like, Sean Avery, why are we doing this?
True.
You know? So anyways, they have a good temperature on their team. They know what goes on in that room and how tight they are. And my personal opinion, I don't know how many people would agree with this, but if I'm a GM, I'm going to my captain and having conversations that won't go any further than the two of them talking and saying, hey, we're thinking about this, we're thinking about that. And I would say, well, who are you thinking about moving? And because I think, I mean, you want the temperature of the room, you go to your leaders on your team. And when GMs and scouts and all these smart people know every player in the NHL, players know better. Even if they're not friends with them, they know someone that knows someone that knows someone. And they can get, listen, he's a great teammate. You might think he's a great teammate, but here's this. So there's, and again, I'm not saying nothing that probably isn't new to anybody, but I don't know if they have that type of practice. But I just, again, I just think I look at the chemistry of our room and I just say, okay, you know, we need a shakeup. We need to move somebody, or no, we're not going to, we don't want to disrupt what's going on here. So
I think those are great knowledge bombs. He's Craig Ludwig. I'm Gavin Spittle. You've been listening to Spits and Suds. Spread the word. It's a podcast that happens 3 times a week, and hopefully you're enjoying it. And it's hockey talk that we need here in Dallas-Fort Worth, so to speak. So thanks, as always, for joining us, Craig. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode following, hopefully, 2 points in L.A. against the Kings. And Sean Shapiro will join me tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.